Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On the line with us, he lives up every day, Al, to be the most provocative and interesting sports columnist in the city of Philadelphia, yes, if not all of America. From TheEnquirer.com and The Daily News, the great Marcus Hayes. Hi, Marcus.
It sounds like you read it from a script.
No, I'll tell you what, Marcus, I am always impressed and motivated by your work. And let's just start with this. And you have an extensive background covering football, covering the Eagles. How bad is this situation right now? Give us some perspective.
Well, I mean, it's pretty bad. Like, they could be better, but they still got a shot. I wrote, you know, 2 weeks ago when Carson was terrible against the Patriots, or 4 weeks ago when Carson was terrible against the Patriots, that his play had cost them the season because, you know, Dallas was going to run away with the division. You look around, they got no shot at the wild card. But, you know, they went out, they saw, you know, they're like, what was it, the Seahawks like 10 years ago? Got in at 7-9 or something like that. You can see that happening again. It's bad, though. I mean, my contention is if you re-sign Jason Peters for $6.5 million for 1 year, then you're all in on this year. And I can't see them winning a playoff game this year, even if it's home. So, you know, that to me, that's bad. That's a failure. This is a team that when you sign DeSean Jackson and when you sign Jason Peters for this season and maybe next season, you're all in right now. And there is it's Super Bowl or bust, and it's got to be bust at this point, even though they're still alive.
Well, I really thought you took it a fascinating direction because I had mocked Orlando Scandrick a few weeks ago. I had mocked him, but in light of what I've seen the last 3 weeks, he basically said the Eagles are living back in 2017, and it looks more and more like that. Talk a little bit about what the point you made in the most recent column because I thought it was fascinating.
Well, the most enjoyable team I've covered in Philadelphia was the 2017 Eagles, despite the whole, like, nobody likes this, we're going to lose, we're underdogs. The reason I like them is because having been around the Patriots and having been around other championship-caliber teams for, you know, for extended periods of time, every day you went to work, you were around people who were focused and professional and worried about what they were doing that day. That hasn't been true in 2008. That wasn't true in 2018. Just Kelsey in the middle of the season told me there were, you know, gross errors during practice. It didn't exist in 2017. Lane Johnson has told us this year guys are late for meetings and late for practice. And then you get 10 penalties in Miami because they think they're going to walk over this team who comes back and rolls them. So that's why I'm disappointed in this team, because not only does it, you know, affect the quality of the life that I live around Philadelphia. I'm not a huge Eagles fan, but everybody else is, and everybody's angry. But it also affects the quality of my professional life, because you go in and these guys just aren't on point. You know, it's just not a very pleasant atmosphere right now. And it's not just because they're losing, it's how they're losing and the culture that exists.
Well, Marcus, we had Jason on earlier today, and I asked him exactly about the feeling this year versus 17. He did not lie. He did not say it was the same. He said every season is a different culture, is a different feeling. But wouldn't you think, having experienced how great 17 was, that they wouldn't want to do that again? What I'm struggling with is how you don't show up for a game against maybe the worst team in football last Sunday. I'm having a hard time understanding that.
For me, yeah. I mean, if you remember, there at one point they were 6-7 last season,
right,
and had to win out and get a whole bunch of help to get in. I thought that would have kicked them into gear. I thought that would have been the difference. I thought that would have been the thing that spurred them to be more like 17. But no, I mean, and you know, we need to be fair. Their cornerbacks are average when the best ones are playing. They've had a lot of injuries. They're old. All that said, the people who are there and have been there for certain games haven't played as well as they could have, and certainly not as well as everybody did in 17. I mean, Jason Peters is playing the whole season this year. Vitae was the left tackle for the last few games in 17. I mean, Nick Foles, God bless him, just got benched for, you know, for Uncle Rico. I mean, this was a very, very focused, very achieving team in 2017. The culture changed in AT. People are writing books and going on talk shows and, you know, sort of smelling themselves. And I figured in this season, with everybody sort of refocused and them coming so close last year, not just to winning in New Orleans, but getting all the way back to the Super Bowl, because all I had to do was beat the genius that Doug Peterson has beaten twice in L.A. You know, I mean, they were so close to going back to the Super Bowl despite what happened, because in December and in January, they found that focus. And if they find it again, they could do it again, which is absolutely crazy.
Marcus, but here's the thing. I've noticed, I've watched the way you've evaluated this team over the season. I know you've placed a lot of the onus on Carson Wentz and on whether or not he can lead a team. And here's what I'm finding. First of all, how do you evaluate how a player is as a leader? That's the first thing I need to know. And secondly, do you sense within the offensive players there's a divide between him and Jeffrey and all that's going on this year with the anonymous sources? Do you think that they're all on the same page offensively?
I don't think that there's any rift or divide or resentment. I believe that you have a bunch of guys in there, in that locker room in general, who need a leader. And, you know, this will drive people crazy that are listening, but one of the best leaders I've been around over the last 3 or 4 years is Dak Prescott. I mean, for a guy who has so many physical deficiencies compared with Carson Wentz, you walk into that locker room, there's no doubt who's running that organization. I mean, Dak Prescott is incredibly impressive. He gets so much out of what he has. That's the sort of – he reminds me of Montana that way. Montana was a very, very good athlete. I mean, you get gorilla dunk backwards. You don't realize what a great athlete he was. And I'm sure Dak's a wonderful athlete too. But Carson is second-level stuff.
Marcus, I know what you're saying about him being a leader, but he's got a lot – way more talent than Carson Wentz
around
has.
Him, right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
But my contention is if Dak has, like – B-plus talent in himself, he gets B-plus talent every day. Carson's got A-plus talent in himself.
All right, but tell me what he's got as a leader. Evaluate him as a leader.
C-plus?
Wow.
B-minus?
What do you think is wrong? What's lacking?
It's just who he is. You know, either you have it or you don't. I mean, you can't pretend to be somebody you're not. And you can grow into leadership. I think he's a better leader this year than he was 2 years ago. You know, I think he's a better leader today, maybe, than he was last month. So he's getting there. But some guys just haven't. And it's hard. You come from North Dakota State. You come from not being recruited. You come from nowhere to Philadelphia with a huge spotlight. It's hard. Dak was an SEC quarterback. And he walks around and talks like he was a star SEC quarterback.
All right. Tell me about Nick Foles as a leader. Better leader than Brent Wentz, then, wouldn't you say?
Not when he was Wentz's age.
Interesting.
I saw Nick pre-St. Louis and post-St. Louis. Nick Foles is like one of those guys. You know those people who have like those near-death experiences, and now the birds chirp louder and the flowers smell sweeter and everything tastes better? That's Nick Foles. He was done with football. His career had a near-death experience. He's playing with house money at this point. And I believe that makes him more inclusive, less insecure, all the things you need to be a really, really good leader. And he's also older, and he's a dad, and he's, you know, been married for a while. He's a much different person in his journey in life than Carson Wentz is. They're similar people. And he's also kind of a – Nick does not fear failure and never has. And that's why he's not as good as he probably could be. He's probably fear failure a little bit more. He thinks he's a gunslinger. You know, he's got like Brett Favre's mentality with my arm. You know what I'm saying?
So I got one last thing.
He's a different dude.
Marcus, I got to ask this now because not a lot of other people in this city would even tackle this question, but I got to ask it. Wentz doesn't get hurt in 17. Do we have a parade?
Oh, absolutely.
We would have won with Wentz, even though he wasn't a great leader. We would have won anyway.
Well, that's the thing. It wasn't just Nick, you know. It was that was a special team because that team, I think I was the only person in town. Do you remember the guy that cried on Monday after on your show that cried on Monday after Carson got hurt in L.A.?
Correct, yes.
Yeah.
I was in my truck driving down to Doug that day on the Blue Route, and I was like, these people are insane. This is a great team, and Nick's pretty good. Nick's good enough. I saw Nick do 27-2. He's good enough to win the Super Bowl, and they're the best team in the NFL if New England isn't. And that's going to be a Super Bowl, and I think they're going to get rocked because I don't think that's the big thing. You know, Doug out-coached Bill Belichick. I didn't think that was going to happen. But I was the only guy in town that I know of that was like, don't worry about it. I mean, I think Silski wrote season's over from L.A., and then on Monday I wrote season's not over. You know, but that's incredibly insulting to Nick Foles, who's been to the Pro Bowl.
And what I'm hearing right now is you don't think this season is over. It's amazing because – they would have to beat Dak Prescott, who you just said was a great leader, in order to save this season. You think they could still do it?
I honestly thought Dallas was going to have, you know, like 12 wins after that Dallas Eagles game. I thought they were going to roll. I thought they were going to be in the NFC Championship game. It was going to be them in New Orleans. You know, Breeze comes back. I mean, I didn't think San Francisco was for real, but all that said, yeah, I thought it was over, man. But, yeah, I didn't realize Dallas – was this bad. The Eagles have played exactly as I thought they might, but Dallas is so bad and so badly coached that, you know, the clapper might get him in the playoffs.
Marcus Hayes, this is why I said he's provocative, fascinating. Always a great honor and a pleasure talking to you, Marcus. Thank you, man.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Right, great insights. That guy, he's always got a spin you didn't think of. He was calling it off, and now he's not so sure because the Cowboys are worse than he thought.
Yeah. We just have to make sure we have a winning record. We have got to be above 500 going into that Dallas game.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. Because Dallas could be a 7-7.
Yeah, 7-7.
Best you could be a 7-7.
Well,
you got to win the next two, but they're all awful teams you're playing.
Well, Dallas is 0-5 against teams with winning records.
Yeah. Oh. All right, well, it's too late.
So never mind.
That horse left that barn. Jonathan's on, Al. He may have seen both of the situations, the movie and the game. Jonathan, did you watch The Irishman?
I did.
Did you watch the Eagles loss to the Dolphins?
Yes, I did.
What did you find more entertaining?
The Irishman. It was fantastic.
Now, Morgani, I turn this caller over to you.
I can't help it. I mean, what am I going to do? He liked the movie. I guess you wanted to see the return of the band is what you saw. I mean, to me, if you're going to have a 35-year-old guy, have a 35-year-old actor. I don't understand. The only strength of the movie to me was when they were actually old guys looking back. What's the point? I mean, they're supposed to be 35 years old. It was the dumbest thing I think I've ever seen on screen, trying to make 70-year-old guys 35 years old.
Jonathan, I found the technology to work right too, but not including the ears.
Yeah, the technology could use a little bit more tweaking. Yep. But like Al said earlier, he said, I don't think anybody under 40 would watch this. I'm 32. I love Goodfellas. I thought this movie was fantastic. It wasn't as good as Goodfellas, obviously, but I still thought it was a fantastic film.
It wasn't as good as Goodfellas. Think about that. It took three times as long, and it wasn't as good as Goodfellas.
Three times as long. Goodfellas is a long movie.
Not like this.
Yeah, look up Goodfellas.
Goodfellas is at least 2.5 hours.
Hey, Donnelly, look it up when you get off break, okay? All right. Over 2 hours? Scorsese didn't do anything.
2 hours and 28 minutes.
2:28. Take back what you said, Al.
Went twice as long.
I'll paint the wall with you.
Oh, God. It's the content. It goes by quicker because it's more entertaining.
Stuff happens.
Right. No, Al, that was an intense character drama.
A what?
Oh, never mind. Jonathan, what about the game? How upset did that game make you?
I wanted to break my 65-inch television. That's how angry and upset I was. I just couldn't believe that they abandoned the run in the second half after being up 14 points and not calling a timeout during that trick touchdown was just...
All right, Eagles are down 6 against one of the worst defenses in football. Did you think they would come back and pull the win out?
I'm a longtime Eagles fan since I can remember. I felt that they could have done it, but I didn't have that much hope that they were going to.
That's when I knew that I am not all in on Carson Wentz. because that's the great quarterback's moment.
Stick. Yeah,
that's the quarterback's moment. Save the team with one last great drive, and he couldn't have come up
the
smaller.
The feeling I have about Wentz this year is he's not always been the reason they've lost games.
Right.
But he's not the reason they win games.
Great way to look at it. Great way. Jonathan, I need you on this wheel. I got another three-piece suit, and I got a Lane Johnson jersey and other great stuff. Give me one of the top 13 coaches or managers in Philadelphia history.
I haven't listened much.
I'll give you who I got. Shero, Cunningham, Vermeil, Manuel, Green, and Larry Brown. Who am I leaving out?
Let's do Buddy Ryan.
Buddy Ryan is not on the list. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, what is Buddy happening Ryan's right now on this list is both extremely symbolic and incredibly stunning.
Okay.
You just heard the names. There's an obvious name that has not been named. What is happening here? Why is that person not been named?
I don't know.
That's all I'm saying.
What have you done for me lately kind of world?
Why don't you just announce the name while you're on it, Mitch?
I didn't announce anything.
Goodfellas was 2 hours. It didn't seem like it because stuff happened.
No,
this movie here was like somebody came to my house and says, now you can leave, shut the door, and made me watch that thing.
Was there blood splatter in Goodfellas?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay, not in Irishman.
They killed 19 people. How many people do they need to kill?
Man, there was like a cap gun bang.
Nice? You just said a great line from a great mob movie. Yes. Now you can't leave.
Yes,
movie?
That was Goodfellas.
No, that's a Bronx Tale.
No.
Yes, is now it? You can't leave is a Bronx Tale when Sonny goes over and locks the door to the bar.
Now you can't leave.
Now you
that was
can't
Goodfellas.
Leave.
That's right.
That was a great movie,
yes,
Bronx
it was a
Tale.
Great movie.
That was a great movie.
Yeah.
888-729.
Let's redo it with the dead guys and make them alive.
All right, yeah. They're not dead. You can't bring them back to life.
Why not?
You can't. They did it with James Dean. They did.
Did you know your ears never stop growing, Ange?
They don't.
No, your ears continue to grow as you get older, so maybe that's why they look like Dumbo.
Yogi Berra.
Mitch, what I have experienced myself is my nose never stops growing.
Well, no, you can smell somebody give you the finger.
888-729. In my ears are a lot of very inappropriate comments. When we return, we got a lot more show left. Eleanor Kerrigan's coming in because she needs a man. And when we come back.
Why is she coming here?
I got the odds on the Eagles game on Monday night, and you're not going to believe it. WIP Sports Time, 8:19.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.